As always, we want to thank you for tuning into our TGRN broadcast this morning. This is a broadcast of the Beacon Church of Christ in Gun Barrel City, Texas. We are producing this in cooperation with the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. They are the host of the TGRN program, and they graciously allow us the opportunity to have a little airtime through their network on TGRN. So appreciate you tuning in today. We are going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles just now, John chapter 10, verse 7 through verse 18. It's somewhat of a lengthy reading, and so I will allow you to read over that yourself as we introduce the occasion for our text this morning. John chapter 10, verses 7 through verse 18. One of my favorite television programs that always comes on this time of year is the program called It's a Wonderful Life. And I'm sure that probably everybody who is listening to this program has heard it, or has seen it rather. If you have not seen it, please do yourself the favor to watch that program. It's a wonderful Christmas time story, and it has some emphasis within it that is helpful for us even on a day-to-day basis. The story, of course, teases our imagination with a man who was given the opportunity to see what his part of the world would look like had he never lived. And he is given a fantasy, really, by a man by the name of Clarence Oddbody. And Clarence Oddbody gave him this opportunity to look at what his community would have been like, his sphere of influence would have been like, had he not lived and had there not been any of his influence in the world. And so it kind of makes us imagine a little bit what maybe that would have been like. But when this experience was all over, of course, he learned that he was more blessed than he had ever realized. And It's a Wonderful Life is not really intended to be a biblical commentary, but it does remind us of some things, some very important things that are taught within the Bible. For example, things like what we have in Psalm 68 and verse 19, where the psalmist said, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Every single day, God blesses us and gives us things that we certainly are not deserving of. God loads us every single day. And then Luke chapter 15 and verse number 31 is a place in your Bible where you read about the parable of the prodigal son. And within the conversation of the father to his sons, a statement is made in which the father says, "Son, you're always with me, and all that I have is thine." Now, that's not intended to be a specific commentary on how things are between God and mankind, but the reality is it does tell us that about God, and that is, all that I have is thine. God blesses us with physical things beyond words can even describe. Oh, we may not have everything we'd like to have in this world. Certainly none of us does. But we have an abundance. We are blessed in so many ways. Even things that often we don't think about. The ability to enjoy the day. The opportunity of warmth and comfort and just so many other things. Now, the reality is just that. All of us have a wonderful life, blessed with so many things we take for granted. Now, we must not mistake the fact that blessed does not mean the absence of difficulty. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good courage, I have overcome the world." Well, Jesus is very matter-of-fact about the fact that in the world we will have tribulation. In the world there will be problems. But even in the midst of those problems, we are still blessed individuals. We still have an abundant life. But what we want to talk about this morning is beyond the blessed life. In this passage of John chapter 10, beginning verse number 7, is an abundant life. You and I already have a blessed life, but you can have an abundant life. And so let's talk about that this morning from the vantage point of John chapter 10, beginning verse 7. And that is, let's talk about how to have an abundant life. On one of many occasions, some Pharisees had come to Jesus, and they cornered Jesus with a question they had for him, and that question appears in John 9 and verse 40. So if you're in John 10 right now, just put your finger in there for just a minute and turn back to John chapter 9 and look with me down at verse number 40. John 9 and verse 40, the second to the last verse in John chapter 9. And in that place, the Pharisees asked Jesus a question. And the question was, are we blind also? Are we blind also? Now that question was in reference to the fact that Jesus had just healed a blind man. That's what John 9 is all about. Jesus healing this man who was born blind. And then Jesus used the situation of the healing of that blind man to teach a more important lesson about spiritual blindness. You see, it's possible to be physically sightless, but it is worse to be spiritually sightless. In Revelation chapter 3, beginning verse 17, Jesus was talking to, through John, was talking to one of those seven congregations of Asia Minor. And to that congregation, the admonition was, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Well, Jesus wasn't condemning the congregation for being blind physically. Most likely they were not blind physically, but they were blind spiritually. They didn't have an understanding of the blessings that God was intending for them to have, and so Jesus refers to them through the Apostle John as being blind. And so Jesus heals this man back here in John 9 who has been born blind. He had physical blindness. He makes the application of that in a greater and more spiritual context, and at least some of the Pharisees got the point because they asked that question there in John 9 and verse 40, are we blind also? And they were not talking about physical blindness. They were not asking Jesus, are we physically blind? Obviously, they knew they were not physically blind. But they were asking Jesus, were they spiritually blind? With their question, are we blind also? Now, apparently not all of the Pharisees and all of the Jews caught on to that, because in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 19, John tells us, there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And so what Jesus had to say was quite revolutionary, was quite surprising, perhaps, to those Pharisees, condemning them for their spiritual blindness, and it put a division between those Jews. Now it's truly unfortunate that the Pharisees missed what Jesus was talking about, because in the verses between John 9 and verse 40 and John 10 and verse 20, the chapter we're going to be looking at this morning, in between those verses, Jesus was making available to them, as he makes available to us today, what has to be one of the most reassuring promises of all of the Bible. And that promise is found in John 10 and verse number 10. Please look there in your Bible just now. John 10 and verse 10, where Jesus says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so that's what Jesus has come to do. He has come to give this abundant life. And I find it interesting in this passage that Jesus came not only to give life, That's reflected back in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, where Jesus came to give life. But he's not come just to give life, he has come to give an abundant life, an abundant life. And although it's true that the physical life of a disciple of Jesus is the richest, most full life any person could ever have, as you look at Mark chapter 10 and verse number 30, where Jesus says, "But he shall receive an hundredfold." Now, in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life. Jesus is talking in part within that verse of how blessed we are materialistically. But even though we enjoy that kind of life, in this passage of John 10 and verse 10, Jesus is not talking about physical life. He's talking about spiritual life. And we know that he's talking about spiritual life because of a statement that he made down in John 10 and verse 28, where Jesus says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And so Jesus is talking about this spiritual life, this eternal life that is rich and abundant and is one that can be enjoyed by all. And so it's not just blessings that Jesus provides in this world, and it's not just spiritual life that Jesus provides in this world, but it is an abundant spiritual life. Now, if you had a way to pull out a concordance or look one up on your phone, what you would find is that this word abundant means literally to be completely full, to have surplus, to be so full there's even more left over. You remember in the Gospel of John, when Jesus in John chapter 2 was at the wedding in Canaan, and the order came out from Jesus to fill the water pots full to the brim. And then you get that image in your mind of a water pot or a glass of water perhaps being totally, completely full, where you could not put in even one more drop of water without it spilling over. And so that's the idea of this verse, to be completely, totally full so that there is no room for anything else. And Jesus says that's the kind of spiritual life I intend for you to have. A life that is completely full of spiritual blessings so that there is no room for anything else. I like how that's expressed in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. In Ephesians 1 and verse 3, your Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us," now get this, "with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." You see, that's where all of them are. They are all in Christ. There is not one spiritual blessing that God has to give to mankind that is not in Christ. Oh, we have lots of physical blessings we enjoy in this world, and people can have and enjoy those physical blessings without being in Christ. But if you want spiritual blessings, if you want this abundant spiritual life that Jesus promises, then you have to be in Christ, because that's where all spiritual blessings are. Look how it's expressed in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, where there Paul writing says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us." You see, that's the God we serve. The God we serve is a God who is exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. We have more spiritual blessings than we could ever even begin to account as we look at the abundant life that Jesus intends to give. I like how it's worded in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25, where there the Hebrew writer said, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Boy, I like that expression, don't you? Saved to the uttermost. Saved to the uttermost. In other words, God not only has the ability just to save, But to save and to be safe and secure for all of eternity without any reservation, without any problems of difficulty coming along to shatter that salvation that God has to offer. Now then, let's ask ourselves a question right at this particular point. And the question is this, and I bid your consideration of it. And that is, how do you and I tap into, how do we take advantage of this abundant spiritual life that Jesus provides? You see, the Pharisees that Jesus were talking to on this occasion, they missed that. There was a division among the people because of him. And in John 9 and verse 40, they asked, are we blind also? Can we not see this also? They missed it. They were blind to it. That tells me it is possible to be blind, to not see what Jesus intends for you to have in this world, to not have these spiritual blessings that he intends for you to have in this world. You see, these were religious people that Jesus was talking to. They were actually leaders of the Jews. They were very religious people. But even though they were religious people, they missed the abundant life that Jesus had waiting for them. So as we stay right here in John chapter 10, what we're going to find is that there are some things we must realize in order to have this abundant spiritual life that Jesus makes available. And I want to start out by saying this, and that is that abundant life, first of all, relies upon who Jesus is. It relies upon who Jesus is. There are going to be a couple of times within this passage of John chapter 10, beginning verse 7, where Jesus points out who he is. It's so important that we realize that Jesus is not just a carpenter from Nazareth. He's not just another Jew among the Jews, but Jesus is something much, much more than that. And so Jesus talks about this in John chapter 10 and verse number 9. In John chapter 10 and verse number 9, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So Jesus says, first of all, I'm the door. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Jesus is the only one that can offer that parallel, that imagery about himself, that I'm the door. I'm the way in. And then he also says this in John chapter 10 and verse number 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus is both of these things. Jesus is the door, the only way to salvation, and Jesus is the good shepherd. There was a Scottish Bible scholar who wrote a geographical book one time about the New Testament world, and he called it The Historical Geography of the Holy Land. And he lived over there for quite a while as he was putting his book together. And when he lived in that part of the world, he met up with a shepherd, an actual Arabian shepherd. And this shepherd showed the man where he kept his sheep at night. And Mr. Smith, when he looked at the place where the sheep were kept, it was just kind of a roughly constructed, fenced-in area made of sticks and lumber and other material, and there was an opening at one point in this. And the man looked at this and he said, well, this is where the sheep stay at night. And the shepherd said, yes, this is where they stay, and when the sheep are in there, they're perfectly safe. But the man said, but there's no door. There's no door around this place. And the shepherd said, well, I'm the door. He was not a Christian man. He was just an Arabian shepherd, but he was using the same language that Jesus used when Jesus said, I am the door. And the shepherd went on to say, when the light is gone and all of the sheep are inside, I lie in that open space. And no sheep ever go out and no predator ever comes in because I'm the door. I know what goes in and what goes out. What Jesus in this passage is saying, that's what I am like. I am like this doorway. I'm like this entryway that gets people into where there is safety for your soul's salvation. A little bit later on, Jesus will say it this way in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Well, that's a pretty exclusive statement, isn't it? No man comes to the Father but by me. And I want you to know that no prophet or apostle ever made such a claim like that. You can hold your Old Testament any way that you want to hold it. You can read it forward or backwards or upside down. You will never find that a prophet ever said that I am the way to God. They never said that. No apostle of Jesus never said, I am the way to God. I am the only way. Only Jesus made that statement because he is the only way. And so Jesus is not saying, I am one of many ways to heaven. That's not what he's saying. I am a door. I am a shepherd. He's not saying that. People today often believe that there are many ways, there are many avenues to God, that you can get to God through Mohammed or through the Buddhist religion or Christian Science. That offers a door. You can get to God through that way or Protestant denominationalism or creed books. And we've heard the old idea so many times that all religions lead to God. But Jesus is not saying that. Jesus is not saying that one way is just as good as any other way. That one religious expression is just as good as any other way. But rather, here's what Jesus did say in John 10 and verse 8. He said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. They're all thieves and robbers. Because you see, Jesus is the only and exclusive way to God. He is the only way to your soul's salvation. Now the point for you and I is just this. If we want the abundant life, we're going to have to recognize that Jesus is both of these things. That he is the door, the only door, and that he is the good shepherd, the only good shepherd. Peter said it like this in John chapter 6 and verse 68. Simon Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You see, only Jesus has those words. Only God has those words contained for us within the pages of Scripture as to how we might have that eternal life. And so that's where the abundant life begins. It begins by realizing that Jesus is the only door, that he is the only way. And we're going to have to live our lives in acceptance to what his will is for our lives if we expect to have that abundant life. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. Abundant life relies upon who Jesus is. Secondly, it relies upon what Jesus has done. I want you to look with me at about four verses here that describe what Jesus has done for us. I want you to look in your Bible at John 10 and verse number 11. In John 10 and verse number 11, Jesus is providing something. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. If you underline in your Bible, underline that phrase about the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. That's going to be reflected in some way in each of these four passages we're going to look at. Look at the next one of these in John 10 in verse number 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's the second time Jesus talks about laying down his life. Look at John 10 in verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. That's John 10 in verse 17. And then look at the next verse while you're here, John 10 in verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. What do you notice about all of those verses? If you've underlined the phrases, what you'll notice is that all of those verses are talking about Jesus laying down his life. In fact, in verse 18, Jesus put it this way, I lay it down myself. It's important that we understand the point that what Jesus has done for us to provide salvation, he has done willingly. He has done voluntarily. In John chapter 15 and verse 13, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Here's what I want you to see. If you want the abundant life, you're going to have to recognize the great sacrifice Jesus made on your behalf. That sacrifice that he has made is the motivation to help you come into the place where you want that abundant life. What Jesus did for you and I was a physical sacrifice by going to the cross, most certainly, but it was much, much more than just a physical sacrifice. I want to tell you, I don't think I could even imagine what that physical suffering must have been like. I've read accounts, and perhaps you have too, about what that suffering looked like, what a crucifixion was all about, from what the Romans did in a crucifixion. I can read those things, but that's still beyond me. But you see, when you consider the physical suffering that Jesus went through, you've only considered just a tiny portion of what Jesus suffered. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, Paul writes, speaking about Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, Jesus was with God. Paul will go on to talk about that in Philippians chapter 2. And Jesus will describe that. John will rather describe that about Jesus in John chapter 1. As John introduces Jesus, he was with God. Those words are an expression of the fact that Jesus has that identity with God, a oneness with God. And even when Jesus was only breaths away from the end of his life, your Bible says this, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, what we need to realize from the vantage point of Mark 15 and verse number 34, in this place where Jesus was making this statement, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus was dying on that cross and had come to the point in his life where his attachment to God had become taken from him, and he was crying out, why have thou forsaken me? And what we need to see is that Jesus suffered to make that possible for you and I to have an abundant life. It's no wonder John was able to say about him in John 1 and verse number 29, he said, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. An abundant spiritual life, this life that Jesus offers, this abundant spiritual life, it's only possible because of who Jesus is. He is the door. He is the shepherd. And it's possible because of what he has done. There's nothing that you and I would ever be able to do, could ever be able to do to affect or to bring about our own salvation. We are powerless to do that. Our sins have separated us from God, is the declaration of Isaiah in the book of Isaiah chapter 59. Your sins have cut you off from your God. We cannot provide for our own salvation. It only comes through what Jesus has done for us. And so we have to recognize that. We have to recognize that this abundant life, it comes through the provision of Jesus, of what Jesus has done on our behalf. And then I want to take you one more place here in John chapter 10 that's talking about abundant life and what it takes to have that. And that is, abundant life now relies upon what Jesus provides. Not only on who Jesus is, not only on what he has done, but what he provides. Consider with me John chapter 10 and verse 16, where Jesus says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Jesus in this passage is talking about a fold. a fold or a place where the sheep go in for safety. And Jesus said there shall be one fold and one shepherd at the end of John chapter 10 and verse number 16. There's just one of those. That's what Jesus provides, one place of safety. Now, for many years, various religious groups have used this verse to support the idea that, well, what Jesus is talking about is that all religious denominations are a part of this one fold. Well, let me tell you something. The weakness of that reasoning is that there were not any denominations when Jesus was making that statement. They just weren't in existence. So Jesus can't possibly be talking about that. But here's what he is talking about. We noticed earlier that Jesus was talking to some Jews. He was talking to Jewish people. In John 9 and verse 40, he was talking to Pharisees. Pharisees were Jewish people. In John 10 and verse 19, John reminds us there was a division among the Jews for these sayings. So Jesus has been talking to Jews. And so when Jesus says, I have other sheep, not of this fold, well, the fold he's talking about is the Jewish people. That's who he's talking to. In Jesus' day, you were either one of two things. You were either a Jew or a Gentile. And so when Jesus says, not of this fold, he's not talking about the religious divisions of men. He is rather saying that there are those who are his who are not from a Jewish background. He is saying that there are those of his who come from a different background than from a Jewish background. Right from the very beginning of Jesus' work in this world, Jesus made it plain that he came into the world to make salvation possible not just for the Jews, but for all people. John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible passage we often call the golden text of the Bible or the gospel in miniature, starts out with words, for God so loved the world, not just the Jewish people, but God loved the entire world and he gave his only begotten son. It's reflected in the same way in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 11. Well, there the statement is made, and I say unto you that many shall come. Jesus is talking. Many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is using that expression to talk about the expanse of his kingdom, including not just Jewish people, but all people. Any people who are willing to submit to his will can come in and be welcome in this fold. And so what Jesus provides, you see, is something truly unique. He provides the opportunity, the privilege for men and women of all social and ethnic backgrounds, from all races, all genders, all of it, to be brought together in one fold, one flock, one church with just one shepherd. That's the grand fact that Paul referred to in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, where there Paul writes, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Did you get that? There is just one body. That's all there is, one body. That's what Jesus provides. He provides that one body. It was his blood that purchased the body of Christ, the church of Christ, according to Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. He shed his life in order to make that a reality. So the abundant life that Jesus provides, what it does is it touches not only eternity, but it touches this life too, because we are privileged to be in that one body. Jesus provides the church as it exists today in this world as the only place that the redeemed souls of mankind may be. And it is a fold in which we can enjoy the opportunity of being with those of like precious faith. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. It is a fold in which we can find fellowship with God and with Christ and with all the redeemed. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 3. It is a fold in which we can worship God in spirit and in truth. John 4 and verse 24. It is a fold where we can be involved in the work of God, and that work being supporting the weak and comforting the feeble-minded and being patient toward all men. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. It is a fold in which we recognize that in this church we are those who are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein. An abundant life, well, that's what Jesus provides. He provides this abundant life, a life that exceeds and abounds far beyond what we could ever imagine, a life that provides for us here and provides for us also right on into eternity. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, Paul wrote about God and made this statement again. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that's why this life that Jesus provides is an abundant spiritual life. But you see, it relies upon who Jesus is. He is the door. He is the shepherd. It relies upon what Jesus has done. He's laid down his life for his church. And it relies upon what he has provided. And that is, he's provided the church, the place of safety for those who are in that one fold. The good news of the gospel message is that you can be in that one fold. You can be in this church. You can be in a position where you can be blessed abundantly in this life, not only physically, but spiritually as well. And then living faithful to God, you can go on and be blessed in all of eternity as well. That's the good news of the gospel. If you need any help with that abundant life, either maybe learning more about it or coming to be a part of it, we sure would like to reach out to you and help in any way that we can. All we need is some way to contact you and talk with you about these matters further. If we can do that, we would be glad to we'd be very glad to make that effort on your behalf. Please just let us hear from you by reaching out to us at the information provided on our webpage or looking us up on Facebook, or perhaps if you have a bulletin available to you, you can find us that way as well. The Churches of Christ salutes you as we preach the cross of Christ.